Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Was Dennis Rader, BTK, involved in the 1976 murder of Cynthia Kinney in Oklahoma? That is the question that is being asked right now. Mike Fisher is the district attorney for Osage and Pawnee counties in Oklahoma. He held a news conference just the other day expressing his opinion. You have two people in this area. You have Sheriff Eddie Vierden, who is pushing this investigation 100,000% full force. I was going to say 110, but he's like full force on this, even creating a national task force, which I don't think is a bad idea in something like this. Is maybe he's a little dramatic. I'm going to give him that. Every time he's on TV, he's got the big hat on. He was playing with evidence the other night with Ashley on News Nation, which seemed a bit much. But, hey, I think any excitement, anybody that's willing to put energy behind finding out if there are more BTK victims out there, no matter how eccentric they may be, as long as they are following real legitimate evidence, maybe not playing with it on television, just a thought, Eddie, is good in my book, because there are very likely more BTK victims out there, despite Dennis Rader saying, nope, I've got my 10 and I'm done. unless there was a copycat, unless there was somebody else out there at that same time doing the same things. I don't know. One may question the legitimacy of Dennis Rader's honesty by saying, it's only 10. Although, you know, when he has been arrested, he was pretty upfront. But again, he is a serial killer. We're going to bring you the audio right now of that press conference just the other day with Mike Fisher as he discussed the legitimacy of BTK's involvement in that 1976 disappearance of Cynthia Kinney. Have a listen.
I don't know most of you. I'm Mike Fisher. I'm the district attorney in District 10, Oklahoma, which is Osage and Pawnee counties. Thank you all for being here today. I appreciate you coming out. I felt like this was something that needed to be addressed. I know there have been a lot of speculation through the media and in the public, and so I thought it was appropriate to try to address this at once. What I'd like to do is to read a short prepared statement, which I have provided to each of you today, and then I will open it up for questions. I will tell you I will try to answer every single question and stay here as long as it takes to do that. I will ask your patience. There may be some questions that I'm not going to be able to answer at this time. And so please understand the reasons for that. This is an ongoing investigation, okay? Law enforcement nationwide understand that a criminal investigation is only complete when a suspect is identified based upon evidence that can be used in a court of law against the suspect. Without such evidence, it would be unjust to arrest someone and then file charges against and convict that person. Information has been shared with the media during the last 30 days that suggests that Dennis Rader, aka the BTK killer, is a suspect in the disappearance of Cynthia Dawn Kinney from Pawhuska in 1976. While that information may lead to speculation and rumors, our legal justice system cannot guess as to someone's involvement in a crime, no matter the history of the person being accused. As of this date, the information that has been shared is insufficient to file criminal charges against Dennis Rader. Given the interest that this information has garnered, I have asked that the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation open a formal investigation into the disappearance of Cynthia Dawn Kinney. While there have been prior investigations into Ms. Kinney's disappearance, I feel it is incumbent upon me as the district attorney to do everything possible to ascertain whether Dennis Rader or someone else was involved in her disappearance. Toward that end, the OSBI will pursue all reasonable leads to identify those who may or may not have been involved in Ms. Kinney's disappearance. If evidence comes to light that is sufficient for the filing of charges, the District Attorney's Office in District 10 will file those charges as appropriate and as the law requires. As this investigation moves forward, I am asking that everyone respect the privacy of the Kinneys. These are wonderful, kind, broken-hearted folks who have suffered enough. For 47 years, they have had to live with not knowing what happened to their daughter. The latest speculation and rumors have only caused them pain, heartache, sleepless nights, and emotional distress. Please give them their privacy. Should anyone have any leads or information pertaining to this matter, please call the District Attorney's Office at 918-287-1510. Now, to add on to this for just a moment, if I may, I had an opportunity to meet with the Kinneys last Friday. We spoke at their house for approximately 2 hours. During that period of time, I got to know them as very gentle-spirited people. They're both in their 80s. They're having a difficult time, as you can imagine. Cynthia went missing 47 years ago. They've got no answers. We have reason to believe that it may have been a homicide. We can't say that with any absolute certainty, but we've seen nothing to suggest otherwise, as there's been no contact with Cynthia Dawn since 1976, since her disappearance. But I share that with you because of the age of the Kinneys. their health is already not great, and it's slipping day by day because of this. They have both lost approximately 20 pounds in just the last month. They can't eat, they can't sleep, they're really having a hard time. And so I appreciate you all getting the word out that let's please respect their privacy. Mr. Kinney shared with me that you can't imagine how it feels to not only not know what happened to your daughter, but to wonder, was she raped? Was she mutilated? Was she beaten? Was she kept as a trophy for some period of time and then killed? They don't have any of those answers. But all of this speculation promotes those kind of thoughts for them, and it brings back those types of fears and those types of worries. So please, please respect their privacy. At this point, I'm going to open it up for questions. As I said earlier, I will stay here as long as I need to answer each and every one of those questions. I just may not be able to give you the answer you want because this is an ongoing investigation right now. But I will do my best to try to answer each question completely and honestly. Yes, sir.
A lot of this speculation obviously coming from the sheriff's office initially naming Dennis Rader as a prime suspect in this case. Have there been any conversations with the sheriff in terms of why this changed course or why there wasn't enough evidence, sufficient enough to move forward in that direction?
The sheriff has not reached out to me or my office regarding this matter. What we have seen and what we have heard has been based upon, first of all, a meeting that he had with law enforcement approximately 90 days ago, where he shared some information, what he believed to be evidence, with representatives in law enforcement from the state of Kansas, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, the state of Missouri, one or two sheriff's offices from there. Representatives of the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation were present. My office was not invited to attend that, but we did go. I went with my investigator and we sat in and listened. So there really hasn't been any communication between the sheriff and my office as to the evidence that he believes that he has at this point. So we've had to rely on the media and the reports that have come out in the media.
So you're not basing this statement on what the sheriff may actually have that hasn't been disclosed to the media? This is just your interpretation of what has been released already?
What I have shared with you by way of this statement to the press and today is that the information that we have received to this point, and there are, I'll call them rumors because they've not been substantiated yet, rumors as to potential other evidence that I have been made aware of. None of that at this point arises to the level of even reasonable suspicion. And of course, I have an ethical duty and a moral duty. Before I file any charges against anyone, I have to be satisfied, first of all, that there's not only reasonable suspicion that the person who's a suspect is in fact a legitimate suspect, but that there also is probable cause, which is the standard to actually file charges. And we haven't gotten to probable cause yet, and we haven't gotten to reasonable suspicion yet. So if we get to that, then certainly we will take a look at it, and I would be happy to meet with the sheriff if he would like to do that. As of yet, he has not reached out to me.
Right now, why have OSBI investigate as opposed to or in addition to the sheriff's office?
Because we want to be sure that the information that is being gathered in the investigation is being gathered appropriately. And I'm not casting aspersions on the sheriff's office, so don't misunderstand that statement. But there are certain ways that an investigation is handled, and the things that I have seen give me pause and concern. For instance, some of the media has spoken about or has reported that the sheriff and I believe undersheriff went to Mr. Rader's house with a search warrant, and they actually did a dig there. While I appreciate their enthusiasm, it's probably not appropriate that they be doing that. It would probably be better left to investigators. I know that the sheriff will take exception to that, and I was very hesitant to call this conference for that reason, because I'm not trying to create a conflict with the sheriff of Osage County, but there are certain ways to investigate a case, and I'm concerned that those proper investigative techniques have not been used. That's why I asked the OSBI to assist. The OSBI, by the way, for those who don't know, if you're from Oklahoma, you do, that's the top investigative agency in law enforcement in the state of Oklahoma. They have the resources, they have the skilled people, they have the experience, they have the ability to follow up and examine evidence that's been collected, and that's why I felt it was necessary to bring them in.
Does your request to OSBI mean the sheriff has to stop, or are you now going to have two BTK-style investigations out of Osage County?
It's a fair question. It will continue. Two investigations will continue. I won't speak for the OSBI because I don't know what their plans are at this point, but they have suggested that they might reach out to the sheriff, which to me makes some sense, and see if the sheriff would be willing to assist them and maybe they can work together in one investigation. That would certainly be beneficial to all involved if the goal ultimately is to try to identify whether Dennis Rader was involved in this or who exactly was involved with this. If that's the ultimate goal, then it would be very beneficial for the two sides to work together. But at this point, they're working independently, and the sheriff can continue his investigation, even with OSBI conducting their own.
You're involved in Osage County politics. Do you believe any of this talk that this is an election stunt?
I'm going to reserve comment on that. I appreciate that. I really do. And I'll leave that up for the public to draw their conclusions.
On Tuesday, when the commissioners met, they tabled a discussion about the sheriff being involved and the sheriff's department being involved in a TV series. And they stopped it to get your opinion. What is your opinion on a TV series being filmed out of Osage County?
Well, I have some legal concerns. As those of you who are in the Tulsa area know, TPD has a contract with the First 48. And part of the city of Tulsa falls in Osage County. And so I have a small portion of that city in my jurisdiction. And I became aware of that contract, not because anyone notified me to tell me that it had taken place, but I learned about that from a defense attorney who contacted me that wanted to know why there was a film crew at the scene, at the crime scene of a murder, a homicide that occurred in Osage County in the city of Tulsa. That was the first I was aware of that. I expressed to them, Tulsa Police Department, that I had grave concerns about that taking place. The same concerns that I had with regard to that I've shared with the undersheriff, Gary Upton, in Osage County. I did that by way of an email. He got back with me and believed that my concerns were probably a bit overblown and suggested that I speak with somebody that represented The Force, which is the name of the TV show that's being produced. I did, in fact, communicate with somebody with The Force, expressed to them my concerns. They said they understood those and they had heard those from other DAs in the past, that there were things that they could do with regard to that contract to address those concerns so that it wouldn't be a problem, so that we would have a little bit of involvement, and by we, I mean the district attorney's office, in what is actually put out there. That was done about a week ago, and I've not seen a follow-up yet, so I'm still waiting for a follow-up from The Force.
Do you know when The Force contacted the sheriff's office initially interested in filming them?
I was first notified about it about 2.5 weeks ago. Now, I don't know if they were notified well before then. That was just the first time I learned about it.
My question, I guess, so The Force had reached out. They're obviously interested in that. The Osage County Sheriff's Office began investigating Kenny's disappearance again, I believe, in December. I don't know when along that timeline BTK, Dennis Rader, got brought up into that discussion, but it is that question of, is it really connected? Kenny's father said that she hopes that the intentions are pure, that the sheriff really does have something. So he has been outspoken about being skeptical, but also wanting those answers and not knowing. And so it's kind of trying to figure out that timeline. Is Dennis Rader involved, or did Dennis Rader's involvement come up after that TV series came up?
I can't answer that. Whether Dennis Rader or Sheriff Verdon can address that, or perhaps Under Sheriff Upton, I don't know. But I don't have any information on that. I'm sorry.
No, let's reel this back in. If it's not BTK, who do you think it is?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's been investigated a couple of times already. In fact, when I spoke with the Kennys, the father's name is Donald Kenny, and that came up during my conversation with Mr. Kenny. He asked the same question that you had asked, and I had given him the same answer. I don't know. I wouldn't speculate on that. And I asked him his thoughts, and he said he had some concerns. And I asked him why, and he said because he had been in communication with Sheriff Verdon about 5 years ago, where Sheriff Verdon had shared with him that he had solved his daughter's disappearance and that he had a suspect. That information apparently led nowhere. And so I think Mr. Kenny is, because of that previous experience, is skeptical about what's going on. I have to take an open view of this whole thing. That's the only fair way to do it as a DA. You take the evidence as it comes to you from your law enforcement. And that's what I'm hoping OSBI can provide me, is some evidence. Whether they can, I don't know. I have told the Kennys that I don't hold out a lot of hope because of the age of the case. Obviously, a disappearance from 47 years ago, it's very difficult to go back and try to recreate evidence and try to test evidence and try to find witnesses. And I just don't know if that's possible. Is it possible to determine whether Mr. Rader is involved? I think that's more of a possibility. But I've asked OSBI to look at everything, and that's what they're going to do.
Mr. Rader's daughter has mentioned some kind of possible immunity, maybe even from the death penalty. Or do you feel upset you're not involved in possible federal discussions as to solving Oklahoma cases and things like that?
Yeah. Well, I'm the chief law enforcement officer of Osage and Pawnee counties, and prosecution should come through my office. I understand the sheriff wanting to involve federal authorities. I don't know at the end of the day that the federal authorities would necessarily have jurisdiction in this matter. The state attorney general's office might, but I would suspect that they would have the same concerns about the evidence that's been gathered to this point. So am I upset about it? No, sir, I'm not upset about it. That happens. Obviously with McGirt, DAs, particularly in the northeastern part of Oklahoma, run into that on a daily basis. So we've come to expect that, but our jobs are to protect and serve, just like the sheriff's office, and that's ultimately my goal. I just want to make sure that if charges are to be brought, that they're brought against the correct person with the evidence to support it. Well, typically, in a case that's a current homicide case, you're going to have evidence like DNA evidence. You could have fingerprint analysis evidence. You could have ballistics evidence from gunfire, if that's used. Gunshot residue, perhaps. Blood spatter. Eyewitness testimony. Sometimes eyewitnesses are not people who necessarily saw the crime itself, but who saw something pertaining to the crime, and their testimony is relevant. None of those things exist here. And whether we can gather anything by way of DNA evidence, I don't know. I'm not the expert in that area, the OSBI is. But I can tell you that whether it's the sheriff's investigation or whether it's the OSBI's investigation, that analysis of evidence for DNA or for blood or for ballistics, those are handled by the OSBI lab. And so it makes sense to involve them because they can efficiently do this investigation. And I'm confident they will.
It sounds like that you have a lot of concerns that there's just hardly any evidence out there pointing to Rader. Does the OSBI share your concerns?
I can't speak for the OSBI. I know they're aware of what's been in the media, and I know that they are very interested and were very anxious to get involved in this investigation, and they've been extremely helpful so far. As far as whether they have concerns, I don't know. But there are certain things. To give you an example, I'm going to kind of go back to Law School 101 here for a moment. When I want to introduce, say it's a current case, okay, and I want to introduce DNA evidence, the way that I have to do that is I have to start out with who collected the evidence. Okay, so we've got an investigator who will collect the evidence, maybe a buccal swab, something like that. They'll collect that evidence, or let's say they get it off of a piece of material. They collect that evidence, they then submit that evidence to their property room. Their property room then makes arrangements to have that property transferred to the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation for their analysis at their lab in Edmond. There's then an analysis that's done, and then that analysis is reported, and it comes to my office, and it comes to the investigator who submitted the evidence, and then a determination is made. Is this information that we can use or not use? And when we've got an investigator who is digging up a scene and gathering evidence, it becomes problematic. That chain of custody, the potential for foundation issues become problematic to the point where we may not be able to, even if we have some evidence, even if that DNA comes back and it shows there's some evidence, we may have difficulty in laying a proper foundation in a court of law to be able to get that information before a jury. So again, it goes back to there's a certain way that an investigation is typically done, particularly a case of this type, a homicide. And I have worries, and that's why I've asked the OSBI to help us.
Have you been in contact with Carrie Rawson, the daughter of Dennis Rader?
I have not. She has not reached out to me, and I figure her plate's full. I'm available to speak with her at any time if she would like to talk with me. I will tell you, I think a question came up a moment ago, perhaps you mentioned it, about immunity. And I was contacted by the sheriff's office several months ago in the early stages of this investigation about whether I would be willing to allow the sheriff's office to offer immunity from the death penalty if Mr. Rader would confess to this crime. And I advised them that I would not. And I said that not because I'm trying to be difficult, but the courts are very suspect, as you can imagine, of any confession that results from that type of an agreement. When the court hears that someone said, oh, you know, I didn't do it, oh, well, you're not gonna charge me with the death penalty? Sure, I did it. He's already serving 10 consecutive life sentences. He's gonna die in prison. So to me, that would have been a suspect offer right off the bat, and that's the reason we didn't do it.
Do you consider Rader a suspect in Kinney's disappearance?
At this point? No.
Why? Is it because you don't see the evidence?
I don't think, again, for me, evidence is different from what it is for perhaps a civilian. A civilian hears, okay, he worked for ADT. For instance, that was something that came out there. He worked for ADT, so ADT has the security system for a bank across the street from the laundromat where Ms. Kinney disappeared. The problem is we have no way of, the records with ADT don't go back that far. So they have no way of confirming that Dennis Rader ever came into Oklahoma to install an ADT system. So that evidence would never make its way into court. It's fun to speculate with that. And I've actually had citizens come up to me and say, hey, what about this evidence? You know, we've got, he was at the bank installing this right across the street. And I said, we don't know that. We don't know that. And there would be an evidentiary hearing on questions like that. And the minute I come into the courtroom and the judge asks me, Mr. Fisher, do you have evidence that Dennis Rader was in that bank across the street from the laundromat? I would have to say, no, sir, I don't. Or no, ma'am, I don't. And guess what would happen? The judge would exclude it. And so that's where we are right now. Again, I keep going back to it. That's why I've asked the OSBI to help us, because I think we've got to clear some of those things up, because I have to have hard evidence that I can actually bring into court, not evidence that people want to speculate on.
So could you clear up for me a bit on this chain of custody thing? Isn't the Osage County Sheriff investigate crimes every day, gather evidence? What about their gathering of evidence in the Wichita area would cause you to have pause if they do it every day professionally?
Sure, that's a fair question. There are several things that would cause concerns. The first is obviously they're outside of their jurisdiction, so they'd have to obtain a search warrant. They've told me that, or they've told the media that they've obtained a search warrant, that that's why the dig took place. I've not seen that search warrant. So we don't know even to begin with whether or not we've got a proper seizure of evidence. And that's the very first step in chain of custody. So I would be reluctant until I could look at that. And there's always going to be, in court, there's going to be a motion to suppress filed against every search warrant that's obtained. And so the question becomes at that point, was the search warrant proper? Was the affidavit supporting the search warrant proper? did the sheriff's office have the authority to obtain that search warrant? When you go outside your jurisdiction, you have to work with local law enforcement, and they have to be present at the scene. I don't know whether they were present at the scene. So all of those are questions that I would have that would need to be addressed. And at this point, we don't have any answers.
Kind of a two-part question for you.
As you could have picked up the phone and called the sheriff. Why not?
Yes, sir. I have reached out to the sheriff through the undersheriff and asked if we could communicate on this, and so far they have been reluctant to do so. Now, some of that falls on me, obviously. And the sheriff, I'll be very frank with each of you, and I think that the sheriff would probably confirm this. The sheriff and I don't have the best relationship in the world. We haven't since I took office. But that being said, this is not political on my part. I did not make this decision for politics purposes. I made this decision because I've got a family of a young girl who's been missing for 47 years who are heartbroken and who are dying as a result of this investigation, and they have no answers. And I'm afraid I'm not going to get the answers that I need to get from the sheriff's office. The only way to get those answers is through the OSBI, with whom I have a great working relationship, and so I've asked for their help.
So that's where it sits as of this moment. Mike Fisher, the DA for Osage and Pawnee County, saying that there's not enough to bring charges against Dennis Rader, known as BTK, as of this moment, and is asking the Oklahoma Federal Investigation Bureau to dig into this further and try and determine if there is, in fact, a connection, as Sheriff Eddie Vierden of Osage County believes there is as he pushes on with his investigation. That's the latest. Of course, we'll keep you up to date right here as we learn more about what appears to be Chapter 3 in the saga of Dennis Rader.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.